I see that you have a strong base. What I mean by that is when pitch is coming, it looks like you're ready to hit. And I say that early in spring training, I was never a guy that did that. I was a big guy like you, big swing, didn't have my feet under me as early as you're having it. Is it just that you've taken some swings in the offseason, or is it that you're seeing the ball that well out of a guy's hand?
First pitch to Clint Frazier's ball one.
It's a little bit of both. You know, I came in prepared and I came in ready. I played winter ball in the Dominican, but I understand what's going on. You know, it's early in spring training, stats don't count. I'm worried about refining my swing and figuring out, you know, where I was back at the end of the season. So right now I'm just trying to drive the ball the other way, stay in the middle of the field, and, you know, if it happens, I pull a ball. But as of right now, early in camp, and, you know, later as it goes, I'm going to get to where I'll need to be where the start of the season comes. But, you know, I've just always focused on being a hitter first.
So yeah, now, when did you learn to do that? Because, again, younger guys never talk like that. Younger guys are more of spring training, go up, get a good pitch to hit, and try and pull and hit a home run.
There's a foul away, one and two. Yeah, Barker didn't learn that stuff.
Yeah,
he was like 35.
100%. Well, obviously that's why you're not in the big leagues as long as you want to be. But you're talking like a veteran guy. You're talking like a Josh Donaldson, like a Russell Martin, like a Troy Tulowitzki. That's half the battle. When did you learn to say, okay, early in camp, I can't try and do too much?
Probably last year was my first time in big league camp, and I got to really talk with guys, and Troy really took me under his wing to help me a lot. And even with this spring training and working out with seeing JD a lot this offseason down here in Florida, and just being around guys that understand the game, you know, you can learn anything from everybody.
Yep.
You know, pitching staff, anybody, you can pick something up. So I just wanted to learn how they prepared and what made them good, not on the field but off the field, because what you do in the weight room and how you prepare mentally is what's going to translate to the field. Because if you're having a rough day, you're probably going to have a rough day altogether. So I want to minimize that, but just be as mentally prepared as I can be and physically ready when the time comes.
Clint Frazier strikes out, and the first pitch now to Dustin Fowler is a strike, 0-1. Dustin Fowler, no relation to Dexter Fowler. We're here with Rowdy Tellez. The Blue Jays lead the Yankees 2-0 with two out on the top of the eighth. Jeff Beliveau on the hill, looking for a 1-2-3 frame. It was a curveball that's whacked into right field. Tracking it is Siciliani. He'll have an easier time with this one, and he makes the catch to end the inning. 1-2-3 go the Blue Jays in the top of the eighth. We'll continue our conversation with Rowdy Tellez. The Jays leading the Yankees 2-0. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network and MLB.com. We're in the bottom of the eighth, the Blue Jays 2 and the New York Yankees nothing. And the new pitcher for the Yankees is Brady Lail. Mike Wilner and Kevin Barker here with you, and Rowdy Tellez here with us up in the booth. And thanks very much for joining us, Rowdy. And you're the guy who people are talking about all spring. That first game against the Braves, you barreled a couple of balls. You had the big hit yesterday, two out in the bottom of the ninth to drive in the tying run. People, I can't tell you how many tweets I get every day saying, is Rowdy Tellez going to be the Blue Jays' starting first baseman this season? They're very excited about you. And it's great that the thing that's impressed me the most, well, there are a lot of things that have impressed me, is Dalton Pompey takes strike one. But the thing that impressed me the most is that here you are, 21 years old, in your second big league camp. You go 0-3 today, and you're up here saying, that felt good. That's a good day for me. I know that a lot of guys who are a lot older than you, no matter how the 0-3 goes, as Pompey takes ball one, would just be tearing their hair out going, you know, I'm taking the collar in a spring training game in front of everybody. And it's a great shows that you have really your head on straight.
Yeah, like I said, it's not going to translate to the season. I mean, the stats don't roll over, so I'm not worried at all. I just want to be ready for when the time comes and the season starts, whatever day it is in April, if it's with the big leagues, AAA, GCL, you know, any time of the year, I'm going to be ready to go. So, you know, I don't want any of this to translate. I just want to get to be as comfortable as I can and just be ready to go when the time comes. And, you know, spring training is training for a reason. I mean, you're here to get ready. You're training to get ready again. And, you know, as long as it's going on, I'm going to keep training. So hopefully for a long time.
Okay, we all love to hit. We love to, you know, hit home runs. That's what makes it fun. But there's two sides of baseball. You have to play defense and offense.
2-2 to Pompey, swung on and fouled into the glove of the catcher. That's a strikeout. One down, and here comes Saltalamacchia.
Now your first base looks the way you're receiving balls, the way you're even receiving balls that are thrown from shortstop. It looks comfortable. That's what it's all about. I was a guy that played first base. It's about footwork. The better your footwork is, the better your hands are, the better you can receive the ball, yada, yada, yada. How has it become easier the last year or so being around first base?
This could be a long time. I mean, when I first signed in 2013, my favorite is right field coordinator Mordecai hits me a couple ground balls. This is a couple days after I signed in July. Mordecai hit me a couple ground balls and looks at me, gives me this weird look, kind of walks over to first base. I meet him halfway and he looks at me, goes, "Cuz, you ever played first base?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I played my whole life." And he goes, "Man, cuz you're awful." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, good thing they paid you to hit." And I was like, "Okay." Well, and then 2014 rolls around and I go into instructs, not allowed to hit, play 9 innings on defense every day. I mean, it was countless hours and days and 7 o'clock in the morning meeting people in the half field of doing work from fielding barehanded, from learning how to use my feet strictly to field, from having to do like jumping jacks to fielding ground balls, like learn where my feet are. It was time and just effort from everybody. You know, I can't thank my coordinators and my infield guys and everybody enough to stick with me and give me everything. But
Salty with
and a line drive into right field. There we go.
You know what? I'm just going to let you do this. And that's a base hit for Saltalamacchia.
Time and time put into to play first base to where I'm, you know, I don't believe I'm as good as I should be, but you know, I'm capable of being a gold glover. Like, that's my goal, and I'm not going to stop till it happens. I want everybody to be confident when, no matter how hard or soft or where the ball's hit, they're looking at me going, "Oh, he's got that. I'm not worried."
That sounds great. And yeah. Rowdy Tellez taking over some play-by-play here. Dwight Smith Jr. comes in to run for Saltalamacchia, and Siciliani is up at bat. Runner at first, one out, bottom of the eighth, 2-0. Blue Jays lead the New York Yankees, and I don't know if it was here or if it was in Orlando. I think it must have been in Orlando because there was a tarp. There's a swing and a foul back. Siciliani, you mean a really nice play down the line on a pop-up, almost having to reach into the stands, going over the tarp. We've seen your footwork be terrific around the bag. Today, you hauled in a throw that might have been 5 or 6 feet over your head from Richard. Well, maybe not that much, but you had to go to as high as you could to pull a throw in at first base, looking really good around the bag. Siciliani takes a pitch 1-1. I remember talking to you in January at the rookie development camp with the Blue Jays, and we were talking about the same thing, how your reputation was bat first, glove second, and how that kind of irked you a little bit. That you know, you just said it now, you want people to be able to rely on you defensively, but that can kind of stick in your craw a little bit when they say this guy's just a hitter.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is a hitter. That guy's pretty good, too, if I don't mind saying that one.
Yeah,
hits absolutely. 300 with 25 and 100 every year. Eric Hosmer, a great hitter. Not to mention those guys are both gold glovers, too. Paul Goldschmidt, 40 home run guy.
Yep.
Gold glover. So does it matter how you hit? Yeah. Does it matter how you play defense? Yeah. So why not make it the same? So when someone looks at him and goes, "Man, he's a great defender," what if that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Not, "He's a great hitter." Like, everybody saw Omar Vizquel as, "Wow, he's a great fielder." You know, I think he had double-digit gold gloves.
Yep.
No,
yep.
I think he had 2,800 hits, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hitter, too. I mean,
he almost had 3,000 hits. I don't know if you know Cecil Cooper or not. He's a great first baseman for the Brewers a long time ago. He told me I would be comfortable around first when I put plays on with the pitcher. Say first and second, I wanted to put a pickoff play. Have you done any of those things?
Yeah, we do those not often, but we do them in the minor leagues. We actually had one work this year that was pretty nice. But, yeah, I just, you know, a lot of that's based on what the pitcher, how he feels, how he is, he confident with you running and coming
yep.
in. But I mean, I'm no little person, so
big target,
should
right?
be hard should be hard to miss.
Yeah, sure.
Darryl Siciliani at the plate now, runner at first, one out, and a 3-1 count on him. 2-0 Blue Jays, bottom of the eighth. The pitch is high ball 4, and there's 2 on for Steve Pierce, who will make his second at-bat of the game and second at-bat of the spring. And there's a lot that goes on in between the years, too, when you're playing. You got decisions to make, quick ones. There was a ground ball today to you where it could have gone either way with Joe Biagini. I'm not going to say Joe was late, but it was close at first base, and you had to make that call. Am I going to keep it? Am I going to flip it? What goes through your head in a situation like that where you know it's going to be bang, bang?
I never anticipate the pitcher being over, so when I field the ground ball, I'm always taking my steps toward first base, and if I know I can't beat the guy or it's going to be close and the pitcher's there, then that's a plus. So stuff like that has been, I know your runner too, know the situation. Pete Cosma, he's probably an average, maybe a little above average. He late barrels something over, so I had not much time, but I had time to think about what could happen, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to beat him to the bag as he started running a little closer as I got there, so I flipped it to Joe, and he made a good play.
Here's Steve Pierce. Second at bat of the spring. He takes strike one, and the 0-1 pitch is low, 1-1. I've noted a few times, Rowdy, and you just said you're not a small guy, but you got number one on your back, which is usually those 5'9", 40 stolen base, 160-pounders. I'm assuming that was just hanging in your locker, or is that your preference?
I'm a center fielder at heart, so I steal bases and play nice. Some mean center field. But we have a good one here in Toronto, so I don't need to worry about that. But, yeah, they asked me what number I want. I said, as long as I'm in big league camp, any number will do. And I think that was a clear indication to give me number one. Probably should have just actually said a number.
Yeah.
And not worried about it. But I didn't want to be like, yeah, I'll take number 44. And they're like, yeah, why is this kid asking for numbers? This guy's 21 years old and second camp doesn't have a lick of time above double A. So I just said whatever number. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's mess with this guy. Let's give him one.
What did you wear in New Hampshire?
I wore 34 because 44 was way too big. I got to look slender on the field. So I wore 34. But I'm most of the time, if it's available and it fits, 44. That's my number.
That's a slugger's number, no question about it.
Willie McCovey.
2-1 pitch inside, ball 3-1. Wow, I'm thinking Hank Aaron, Reggie Jackson. You come out with Willie McCovey, make sure you say that to Jerry Howard the next time you see him. You'll have a friend for life.
Yeah, he already he was bashing my hometown, me and Buck, and he was like, "Oh, Elk Grove, what?" And I was like, "Pretty sure our TV guy is from Elk Grove." But and if Buck is listening, which he's probably not,
of course he is.
I missed him by a year in high school, so
3-1 pitches,
yeah,
foul down the
was,
line.
He was class of 65 or something like that, and I was 13, 2013. So
same high
school. Okay, Rowdy, tell me something that you like to do. Besides baseball, tell me about you. Just something that's maybe odd or different, or whether you like to golf or whatever it is.
Definitely cannot golf.
Nice.
That is evident.
Yeah.
I love to hunt. Hunt nonstop when I'm home. Got a little hunting down here in Florida, but my dad. That's kind of our bonding time when I'm home. Is we go out and we hunt ducks, we hunt pheasants, doves, elk. I mean everything. It's kind of it's not an outlet for me, but to have time with your father that, sacrificed everything it's just a different feeling, especially when you go out one-on-one and it may not be the best day out there if you're duck hunting, but just to be out there and laugh at each other and understand, what he did for you is just a great feeling for me now. So hunting used to be, one of those things where I was, ready to go and hunt and whatever came in was what we did, but now it's more like just to be around my dad. I'm growing up, and I moved out here full time now. To be, get ready for my big league chance, and I just, so I went home only for the holidays, but to be around him it's great, and my uncles.
That's great. It's great to see the smile on your face while you're talking about that. It is 2-0 Blue Jays. There are two on and one out, and Steve Pierce has fouled off a bucket of balls here. With the count full, Rowdy Tellez is with us, and you've already called a couple of pitches here. So you want to take this one,
sure.
A full count delivery with
for?
One out here?
Wait, full count?
Yeah, we'll do a little play-by-play here.
I
don't
know who's pitching. Is it still Brady Leo?
This is Brady Leo.
Probably a fastball.
That's hit on the ground. A short could be two. Torres to second, one. Tejada to first, and that is a double
typical
play.
Typical change-up guy.
So Steve Pierce grounds into the 6-4-3 double play to end the eighth inning. Rowdy Tellez, thank you very much. Pleasure having you up here, and we're enjoying your spring so far. We're looking forward to a lot more good things.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here, guys.
You bet. That's Rowdy Tellez.